Well, good morning and welcome to Assets and Aging, the live local show that's all about the issues of aging. Who takes care of me when we get older? How do we take care of mom? How do we make wise decisions? How do we figure out what to do with dad? Where do we stay? Who's going to pay? Is assisted living right? I have got a lot of stuff to talk about this morning. You're going to want to stick around and hear this. And hopefully some of you will actually act on what we talk about. Glad to have you with us. I'm your host, Bob Scrivano, doing this for 19 years right here on KFBK, California's single best source on the issues of aging. Hope to keep doing this for a while. Let me get some stuff out of the way first, and then I'll give you some exciting news. Again, I'm your host, Bob Scrivano. Remember, I'm not an attorney. I don't practice law. I don't give legal advice. If you want legal advice, you should consult an attorney, preferably one that knows what the heck they're talking about and doesn't tell you to get a divorce. I have a California insurance license, a legal document assistant license, what else? It registered in Sacramento County, California, which allows me to prepare legal documents at your request. I'm not securities licensed, I don't want to be, and everything we talk about here is my opinion only and should not be taken as any form of legal, tax, or financial advice. That said, I've got a ton of stuff to talk about today. Let me give you some other stuff. My book is out. It's out, but it's only available to people on my newsletter list. If you would like to get my book, called Navigating Frailty, then you can do it by signing up for my newsletter. Now, in a couple weeks, you'll be able to buy it online, but right now you get it at a one-third off discount if you're on my newsletter list. So if you're on my newsletter list, you'll be getting a newsletter here soon. If you're not, get on my newsletter list. You can do that by going to my website, assetsandaging.com, assetsandaging.com, assetsandaging.com. It's again, assetsandaging.com. You can go, pardon me, you can go there and there will be a place for you to sign up and buy get my newsletter. Newsletter is free. And once you're on my newsletter list, there will be a special portal where you can go buy my book at a discount. And you can buy it for Kindle or Nook or a PDF or whatever. So if you want to get my new book, that's where you go do it. It's the only place you can do it right now. Is it will be first offered to subscribers to my newsletter. And again, you can subscribe to my newsletter by going to assetsandaging.com and signing up for my newsletter. On my webpage, you can also look at my new videos. You can listen to archived podcasts and radio shows. You can just get all kinds of information. One of the things this show is about is information. You can get it by going to assetsandaging.com. You can also follow me on Twitter, my Assets and Aging Facebook page, and most importantly of all, you can get in to see me. My appointments are free, so you can actually come to my office and get in to see me. Or call me, 800-999-8007, 800-999-8007. Also, don't forget my upcoming workshop on May the 13th. It's going to be a barn burner. If you have not been to one of my workshops, I suggest you come. Again, you can sign up for my workshops online at my website, assetsandaging.com. If you're not on the internet, you can call my 800 number and I will get you a ticket. It's that simple. What else? That's it. If you have any other questions, again, you can always call me at 800 800-999-8007. So I've got a bunch of stuff from failed long-term care insurance companies to misinformation on a newsletter. Who's this from? I don't even know who this is from. The Public Policy Institute of California. I've got another one from an article in the New York Times on declaring war on financial abuse that is so unhelpful and misleading, I can't believe it. But I want to start with this. I got, you know, you all get them. You can hear it. I got one of these cards in the mail. And it's addressed, you know, it's a junk mail card. Living Trusts, $499, free one-hour informative seminar, $100 off this week only. Coupon valid at seminars on so-and-so-and-so. Experience counts. $499 Living Trust. Create new or replace outdated documents. Free changes. Lifetime services and support. From who? From who? Where are they located? Well, they're in Southern California. Plan attorney, I mean, a durable power of attorney. I've been to these workshops, folks. I get thrown out of these workshops. Please, when you see these discount living trusts workshops, please stay away. This is my opinion only. Stay away. You're not going to learn what you need to learn. In fact, I've been to so many of them, and I ask the commentators questions, and they never have an answer. And a couple of them I've actually been thrown out of, which I'm proud of. These come around all the time. Pardon me. They do them at restaurants or cafes, what can I say? Just be careful, folks. If you really are looking to have a trust done or a power of attorney done or something like that, you know, give me a call. I can do them, or I can refer you to an elder law attorney who can do them, and they'll actually be done correctly. So, again, this one's yellow, but they always come on some kind of... Just be careful. If you go, whatever you do, don't sign up for something while you're sitting there. And then there's going to be a monthly fee involved and all that stuff. Please be careful. I know they're... Pardon me. I know they're cheap, but cheap isn't always better. Pardon me. A Yugo was cheap, but it wasn't better than a Mercedes. It was a Yugo. For those of you that are old enough to remember Yugos. So that's the first topic of discussion. The second topic of discussion, and I have to be really gentle and kind with this, I think. Part of me wants to scream it out from the rooftops. But would you please, please, stop pretending in your families? Please stop pretending in your families. As to what's going wrong. Somebody came into my office the other day, and they have a parent, and the parent needs help, and they're trying to sell the house, and they're trying to get advice, so I went through what should be done and how we would do it, and I was going to charge a fee for that, because that's what I'm in business to do, is, you know, I run a business. And so I didn't hear from them, And finally, they called me up. And they said, well, you know, we went and talked to somebody else. And I said, oh, okay, that's fine. You can go to talk to somebody. What did they tell you to do? And they said, we should buy a Medi-Cal certified annuity. And I said, well, I was probably a little more agitated than I am right now. But I said, there's no such thing. Call Medi-Cal up and ask them where you get their certified annuities. And then the guy told him that he was a certified Medi-Cal specialist. I won't tell you where these people are, folks, but I'm getting to a story here. Now, remember, all of this was based on they didn't want me, you know, I've done 1,500, 2,000 Medi-Cal cases because I was going to charge them something to do it. It would have been done correctly, but this person was going to do it for free. So I'm sitting there saying, well, how can they do it for free? Well, they can't. They're going to sell the people a $200,000 annuity. It's a certified annuity. It's Medi-Cal certified. Again, I can't say this enough. There's no such thing. Anybody tells you that they're a Medi-Cal certified specialist or they're using a Medi-Cal compliant or Medi-Cal approved or Medi-Cal certified annuity is a liar. I don't know how else to say that. Medi-Cal doesn't certify or approve anything. In fact, there's a whole bunch of Medi-Cal regulations dealing with annuities. Lots of regulations. There's federal law dealing. There are all county letters dealing with annuities used for Medi-Cal. And so we talked a little more, and they said, well, he's going to do it for free. I said, no, he's not doing it for free. First of all, he's making at least a 4% commission on $200,000, so he's going to make $8,000. I said, secondly, you're going to buy what's called an immediate annuity, and in order to work for Medi-Cal, you have to have that annuity pay out over life expectancy. It's required by law. And you can't use what are called balloon annuities anymore because by Medi-Cal all-county letter, they've been banned. And Medi-Cal can recover against balloon annuities. So I'm not going to go into what a balloon annuity is, folks. But don't use them. And, pardon me, early morning. And so I talked. I said, okay, let me get into the weeds with you a little bit. And this is a family completely only focused on, somebody's going to do it for free. Have you guys ever had something done for free and it didn't turn out well? I have. Have you ever, anybody ever gone to someone who's going to fix the car for half the price of the good mechanic? And what do you wind up? Yeah, I know. We've all done that. But this one's free. So here's the way it works. You have to take the person's life expectancy, which in this case was 8 years. So this person was going to be going to live on according to the Social Security Administration, 8 years. Pardon me. Man, I apologize. That means you have to divide the $200,000 by 8. And that's how much the annuity has to pay out every year. So the annuity is going to pay out $25,000 a year. Okay, Bob, why does that sound bad? They're going to get 20. Well, it's not going to pay any interest or very little interest, maybe 1%, which is okay if it really helped. But in this case, because the person's going to be in a nursing home on Medi-Cal, because the whole goal here was to get Medi-Cal, they have to give the $25,000 to the nursing home as share of cost. So now what's the cost? So now the cost is $25,000 a year. It's not free anymore because as the parent has to take the $25,000 out every year, that is considered income. The insurance company issues a 1099. And that $25,000 has to go to the nursing home. So what did the free annuity get them? It got them a $25,000 a year share cost. So it's going to cost, and every year the $200,000 goes down by $25,000. So at the end, is there more or less left for the heirs? My point is this. The advice they were getting was so bad that they were willing to accept it because it was simple. My solution was a little complex. This solution is simple. Just give us $200,000 and we'll make it go away. Only it's going to cost you $25,000 a year in share of cost in the nursing home, but it's free. It's a family who is completely in denial about what's going on. It's a family that's looking for simple solutions, not solutions. And I'd like to say that this is an anomaly, but it's not an anomaly. It goes on all the time. And in some cases, especially with married couples and IRAs, immediate annuities do make sense and do work, but almost never for a single person. And yet it was going to be free. Now, the family has stopped listening to me because you can't beat free. You know, there must be something wrong with my advice if somebody else can do it for free. But it's like anything else, folks. Beware of free. And please, as a family, engage in activities that you really understand. So we have a family conflict because one part of the family likes what I'm saying, the other part of the family likes free. And of course, free sounds better because it sounds like there's going to be more money left for the heirs. At the end of the day, I don't care about the heirs. I care about that ill person and protecting what they have so that it can take care of them. So beware of anybody using the terms Medi-Cal certified or Medi-Cal approved, anything, a Medi-Cal approved agent, a Medi-Cal approved annuity, a Medi-Cal approved anything. Medi-Cal doesn't approve or certify anything. There's no such thing as a Medi-Cal compliant annuity. So please be careful with this stuff. This is a family that has walked into something and they really don't understand. I can't convince them of otherwise now, so that's okay. But don't let it happen to you. And there are lots of people out there all over the place who are willing to do that to you because the financial stakes are very, very, very high. I want to talk about another family. And again, a family that is just in denial about what's going on. Well, the one parent died, one parent left. They have some money. There's actually enough money to pay for this person's care for the rest of their life, but they're really worried about it. And this story is going to lead me to an article from the New York Times this week. It was New York Times? Yes, the New York Times. On declaring war on financial abuse of older people. So this family is in denial because the parent is beginning to fail. Still in pretty good shape, but getting older and beginning to fail. Now, when people get older, I'm getting older, and when people begin to fail, do they ever miraculously heal and return to their youth? No, they don't. They continue usually to fail, and it continues to become more difficult and more difficult and more difficult. And that's just the way life is. So this family has children, some of them functional, some of them dysfunctional, all kinds of needs in the family in addition to the parent. And so I've been working with them for about 2-3 weeks, trying to get them to understand what's happening in the family, have met with some of the family is incapable of meeting. And at the end of the day, they're going to trust the advisors that they already have. Now, let me help you to understand. We've been through all the stuff done by the advisors, and without exception, it's almost all wrong. I'm not making this up. We've been to an attorney. We've had an attorney review documents. I've been to a stockbroker. I've had a stockbroker review documents. Or review things, and almost all of it is done wrong. In fact, one of their advisors is charging them almost $50,000 a year for advice. They never speak to the advisor. The children have never spoken to the advisors. And the children, when they have sat in front of me, have said, you know, this is a problem. We don't like this. Now, here's where I'm going with this. And I see this a lot. And you need to stop doing it. You just need to stop. And that is, they're deferring everything to the ill parent. Well, we have to talk about this with our parent, and we have to decide if they're on board. And now, on the face of it, folks, that sounds correct. That seems to make sense. Gosh, let's do that. That seems to make sense. Is the person that's failing, is the person who doesn't always see things clearly, is the person who has a different kind of relationship with troubled children than the other siblings may have, always the wisest one to continue to make those decisions? You've all seen it. There's a troubled child in the family, a severely troubled child, who's really good at manipulating a parent or parents. And the other children try to warn that parent about that dysfunctional child. We're going to talk more about that in a minute when I get to this article. And yet, at the end of the day, who does the parent defer to? The troubled child, who that child has been taking advantage of the parent for years. So in this case, nothing's happening. The advisors continue to, I think, in my personal opinion, abuse what's going on, use it to their advantage. The children have not done anything. And some of the children who are special needs children are actually at risk of losing their government benefits because of all of this. But the person that they're looking to, and this, the moral of my story here is, it's always wise in families to determine who's the responsible adult. And it is not always mom or dad or the parent who's the responsible adult. The day will probably come when my children will have to be, if I don't drop dead tomorrow, where my children will have to become the responsible adult in my life. I hope I'm preparing them for that day. They're my children. I would want no one other than my children, to who I love and trust and adore, to be the responsible one for myself and my wife if we could not be responsible for ourselves. Parents, you have to let your children be the responsible adult when it's time. And children, you have to decide when it's time to intervene, and that your parent, even though they're your parent, is no longer capable of being the responsible adult. I cannot tell you how important that is. When I read this article from the New York Times in the next half hour, I think you'll understand why I'm going here today. It's an ongoing issue. I talk to other elder law attorneys. I'm not an elder law attorney. I'm not an attorney. But I talk to elder law attorneys that I know and respect all over the state. And their number one problem is getting children to be responsible for parents and to make hard decisions. And along with that is this denial in families where we have a failing adult, this absolute complete denial that it's happening, and this absolute complete delusion that it's going to get better, that somehow we can wave the magic wand and we're going to make it all better. If that's going on in your family, I don't know if it is, I'm just saying, if that's going on in your own family, the best thing you can do, the single best thing you can do, is recognize it and admit it, that this is going on and that we're looking for advice from the person that is at the center of the storm. That is the parent or the grandparent. Are you willing to get involved in your mom and dad's life, or your children's or your grandma's life, or your Aunt Tilly's life, or whoever it is, knowing full well that they're not doing well? Are you willing to take on the wrath and the greed and the guilt issues and the other siblings that are interfering with you taking care of grandma or mom or dad or whoever it is? Every day I see families in need, and every day I see families in denial about what's going on. There are solutions in almost every situation, but the solutions have to begin with an acceptance and an acknowledgement that mom or dad or grandma or grandpa are not getting better. It's at the core of this program for 18 years. Get in to see me, get to the workshop, start being honest about your family and what's happening. Start being honest about who you're going to pick in your family and who's trustworthy and who's going to make wise decisions. You can do that by calling me at 800-999-8007 and arranging to get in to see me. The consultation is free. And if you can't get to me within reason, I'll get to you. Or go to my website, Assets and Aging, assetsandaging.com. Sign up for a workshop. Get on my newsletter list. Get my book. But start being armed to deal with what's happening in your family. I've got more stuff, a couple articles from the New York Times. We'll be back here in just a second. Give me a call during the break and get in to see me. We'll be back in just a second right here on Assets and Aging. Welcome back to Assets and Aging, Affording the Future, the live local show that's all about the issues of aging. Glad to have you with us. Lots to talk about. A couple things. Bob Scrivano, your host. Remember, I'm not an attorney. Don't practice law. Don't give legal advice. Everything we talk about here is my opinion only. The other thing is, don't forget my upcoming workshop on May the 13th. You can sign up for that on my webpage or by calling my 800 number. You can always get all kinds of information on my website, assetsandaging.com. Those of you that are on my newsletter list, you'll be getting a newsletter soon, and you can purchase my book at a discount, but only to newsletter members. If you're not a newsletter member, I suggest you go to my website and sign up for the newsletter so you can get my book at a 33% discount, basically. All of that good stuff. So make sure that you're ready for that. Make sure you have the information you need. And again, my workshop on the 13th, don't miss it. They're always the best workshops around. And if you have not signed up for one, have not been to one, or haven't been to one lately, you should come. Okay. I want to read you an article from the New York Times, April 1st, April Fool's Day. I've had it for a while, just haven't been able to get to it. And it has to do with long-term care insurance and the failure of a major long-term care insurance company. There are all kinds of issues right now in the long-term care insurance business, folks. There's fewer and fewer companies writing it. There's more political pressure. There are lobbying groups lobbying like crazy to do away with Medi-Cal and Medicaid because they want to sell more long-term care insurance. And yet there are companies in trouble. PERS has had to raise their premiums, three or four times in the last 10 years? The PERS long-term care plan, people have been forced to cut their benefits. But this article, and again, this is the New York Times. You can go look it up. It's in Business Day, and it's from April. The article was written April the 1st. I downloaded it a couple days ago. But here's the article, and I want you to listen. Those of you that have long-term care insurance, those of you that don't have long-term care insurance, you need to listen even more because one of the things that does pay for long-term care is long-term care insurance, and if you don't have it, you probably can't get it. And so you're going to become completely dependent as you get older on your own wits to figure out how to pay the hundreds of thousands of dollars that long-term care costs. So let me read. Something unusual happened this month. A good-sized American insurer, Penn Treaty, of Allentown, Pennsylvania, was ordered to liquidate and wind down its affairs. Its demise will orphan tens of thousands of policyholders. People who, and that includes people in California, by the way. People who bought its long-term care insurance to shield their families from crushing nursing home costs. Finally, an article that talks about the cost of long-term care for what they are. Crushing. Let me find the next page. Now some fear Penn Treaty's failure That, by the way, this has been going on for almost 9 years, this failure. Now some fear Penn Treaty's failure is a signal of more trouble to come in the long-term care sector. There will be more trouble in the long-term care sector. Nobody wants to admit it. Nobody wants to talk about it. I don't sell long-term care insurance, so I get to talk about it. Years ago, years and years and years ago, when I started 25 years ago, I got started because I was selling this product. This brand new product came out called long-term care insurance. And one of the first companies in it, believe it or not, was American Express. And I was doing workshops. It's how I learned about Medi-Cal, because my clients would start going to nursing homes, and back then Medi-Cal was a big secret, and they wouldn't tell anybody about Medi-Cal, and you know, it was a big secret. There was like one set of Medi-Cal regulations per county, and it was in 2 6-inch volumes, and nobody had ever read it. Now you can get all the regs online if you want to go find them. But when I started, as long-term care insurance grew, at one time there were 100 companies writing long-term care insurance. I don't know how many in California, but 50? There were a lot. Now we're down to less than 10, I believe, who are companies who are, and maybe less than 6, who are writing long-term care insurance policies in California. Now, there's a couple reasons for that. One is some of the early policies were, quite frankly, awful. But nobody knew they were awful because they were new. Over the years, they've changed them. For instance, early policies didn't cover Alzheimer's. What they would say is we will not cover diseases of a non-organic origin, which meant dementia. That changed eventually. A lot of policies early on were nursing home only or home care only. Now policies have to be, in California, be comprehensive, which means they have to cover home care, assisted living, and nursing homes altogether. Now, that's been forced on the consumers in California by the Department of Insurance. I don't know if it's good or bad. I think it, in the end result, has not been good. And the reason why is, let's say you wanted to buy car insurance. Normally, if you buy car insurance from the agent, and you also buy homeowners, and you also buy fire, and you also buy your other insurances, the overall price goes down. Well, that did not happen with long-term care insurance. You used to be, if you wanted just to stay at home care and you wanted to take that risk, you could just buy a home care policy. Or if you were really concerned about, I'm not concerned about home, I'm concerned about nursing homes, you could buy nursing home. You can't do that anymore. You have to buy a comprehensive policy. Now, when you put everything but the kitchen sink in the policy, what do you think happens to the cost? What do you think happens to the cost? Well, it goes up. The cost of long-term care insurance has gone up. Now, what's the other thing that happens when you throw everything into the... If I was only going to insure your house, but I was not going to insure the contents of the house, and you said, okay, I'll buy that bet, which do you think would be more expensive, the house only or the house and contents? Well, of course, if you add stuff to the policy, it becomes more expensive. If you want a $100 deductible on your car insurance or a $2,000 deductible on your car insurance, which one's cheaper? So you already know the answer, the $2,000 deductible. Same thing with health insurance. Same thing. It's one of the reasons I don't like everything and its uncle thrown into health insurance plans, because it forces people to always buy the most expensive plan. It's just my own bias, folks. It's not political. It's just that when you get all the doodads on a car, my favorite example is, how many of you have ever been in a cafeteria? When you get your little tray, how much has it cost you so far? Nothing. As you go down the cafeteria line, every time you put something on the tray, what's going to happen at the end of the line? It's going to get more expensive. And so all of a sudden, you looked at the $5 sandwich, but by the end of the line, you owed $22.50 because you added a pie and you added chips and you added potatoes and you added green beans and you added a drink, and then you jumbo-sized it, and by the time you got done, your $5 sandwich was $22. Well, the same thing happens with long-term care. You're going down a cafeteria line, and it's sometimes the food is unrecognizable. And so the policies have become more and more complex. They become more expensive. It's harder to underwrite because the more stuff you allow in a policy, from an underwriting standpoint, it's harder to figure out what the cost of that item is. So if I'm only doing home care, that's one set of underwriting. If I'm only doing nursing homes, that's a different set. If I put them together, that's a different set of underwriting, because people could need both home care and nursing home care, and it drives up the cost. As a result of that and legislation and a whole bunch of state activity and other stuff and some other failed companies in California that were allowed to fail on somebody's watch, like Penn Treaty was allowed to fail, the cost of long-term care insurance, the complexity of long-term care insurance has gone up. As a result, in my opinion, people who could have been buying long-term care insurance haven't, because you have no choice now but to buy the, you know, everything in the boat plan, and it makes it more expensive. Now, the flip side to that coin is it keeps agents from hiding stuff. I understand, but I'm a big fan of that the consumer, with a little bit of counseling and a little bit of time, can usually come up with the decision that's best for them, not for somebody else, not for some bureaucrat or some regulator or somebody else. So this failure of Penn Treaty, then I want to read you one other thing here. Michael Leonard, a Penn Treaty policyholder in Venus, Florida, said she was shocked to learn of the liquidation. "It's time for me to go to a facility to live out my days," she said, explaining that she had already selected a group home, submitted an application, and been accepted, but had not yet sold her house. They may not take me now. I may not have enough assets to go in. Another one. Mr. Sproul said that his mother lived to be 100 and spent her final years. Oh, in Pennsylvania, the guaranteed limit is $300,000. Mr. Sproul said the cash value of his policy was close to double that, $573,000. So is the cash value of a separate policy held by his wife, Mary Lou. Mr. Sproul said that his mother lived to be 100 and spent her final years in a nursing home. The care was expensive enough to wipe out all her assets in just 3 years. After that, she had to turn to Medicaid, the government health program for the poor. It's not for the poor. That's a lie. That's why we bought insurance, so that all of our assets wouldn't be gobbled up by nursing home costs. But now the policy is gone. And of course, at their age, they're uninsurable. Long-term health and long-term care insurance is classified as health insurance, so health insurers in the state will get an assessment, even the ones that steered clear of long-term care insurance and never sold a policy. They were aghast at having to pay for other people's mistakes. And by the way, the health care plans in Pennsylvania, their policyholders will now pay more money because they have to bail out this company. All of this has been foreseeable for years, folks. Those of us that have followed the industry, have followed regulation, have seen this coming for years. The inability to get long-term care insurance, the dearth of companies, the over-regulation, all of those kinds of things. Not only in the normal long-term care industry, but in PERS. So here's where I'm going with this. All of you that have long-term care insurance need to be paying attention. If you have a Penn Treaty policy, you may be in deep trouble. And if you have a Penn Treaty policy, you better get in to see me to start working on Plan B, because if your Plan A was your Penn Treaty policy was going to take care of you in your crotchetiness and your infirm years, it may not. It's not going to be around anymore. It's going to become even more imperative now that this plank is no longer around, and that a long-term care insurance gets more and more and more expensive and out of the reach of more and more and more people, and that because underwriting is tightened up, you're going to be more and more and more on your own. You're going to have a plan for long-term care. You're going to have an idea of what you're going to do. You're going to get your children involved. And children, you're going to have to demand of your failing parents that they allow you to get involved. I am just tired of children not getting involved. Sons in particular. I'm a son. Sons in particular not getting involved in their parents' lives. You just are going to have to do it. You have to have a plan more than ever now for long-term care. If you don't, then get in to see me, get to a workshop, but get in gear and begin to take this seriously. There's two families here that just lost $1 million from lack of planning and lack of paying attention. Okay, next article is also from the New York Times. It's dated April 14th. And it's called Declaring War on Financial Abuse of Older People. And this talks about, you know, older people who have been scammed out of stuff. We've all heard it. The lady, here's a lady, 87, who was swindled by another lady who had insinuated herself into her life. You know, the neighbor, the guy down the fence, the carpenter, the gypsies. It's always somebody else. There needs to be a crime called theft from a vulnerable adult. To everyone knows it, says Mrs. who also works part-time for a Head Start program. A number of states have laws on the books. Elder abuse we know about. Here's, and I wrote back to all of this, okay. And here's where this goes, folks. This just makes me upset. There's always going to be some legislator who's going to get involved, and they have the answer. They don't have the answer. I have the answer. Senator Susan Collins, Republican from Maine, has introduced legislation aimed at improving the reporting of fraud. We don't have not enough reporting of fraud. We have so much reporting of fraud that doesn't exist from mandated reporters like banks and other do-gooders. Fraud, teaching seniors to recognize the signs of exploitation. What a stupid thing to say. Do you think the lady that got defrauded of the $217,000 earned in the article was stupid? I don't think so. I had somebody come in recently with a brokerage account that's 129 pages long. How many of you could read a 129-page brokerage statement? 129 pages long. It's not because she's stupid. It's because she's older and more frail, and that part of her life she thought was finished and fixed. The question I asked while reading this entire article on financial abuse was, why are you training the wrong people? You're training the senior. Most elder abuse is by whom? Come on. Answer the question. By family members and friends. Now, do you think that training the elder to recognize financial abuse so that when the gypsies come to the door and want to put a new roof on the house, grandma's ready to go? Or her alcoholic son, who gets $500 every month from her, or $1,000 every month from her, or has moved in with his alcoholic buddies and not paying any rent and taking mom's... Which one of those do you think is the most prevalent? And the article completely misses the point. Most financial elder abuse is committed by family members. That's why I keep going back to and will continue to harp on children. You need to be involved in the lives of your parents. You need to know what's going on in their lives. You have to. So, a family that just came to see me, 5 children. 3 of them are dysfunctional. 2 of them are functional. 2 of the non-functional children are ripping off the parent, and the 2 functional children know about it. Now, why is that happening? I have a case right now where we know that the broker is overcharging and is churning an account. The family knows it, but it's a longtime advisor, and the children don't want to interfere because mom likes the advisor, and the children, even though they don't like it, and there's ridiculous fees going on, the children don't want to interfere. So, at the end of the day, would educating the senior, what if the senior has some dementia? How is educating the senior going to help? I'm going to go back to it for the 10 million thousandth time, and that's probably not an exaggeration. Children, please, for you know what's sake, please get involved. You don't have to take over their life. Please know what's going on. Please understand what's going on. Don't let your mom make bad decisions just because, well, it's mom, and I don't like telling mom what to do. What if your mom has dementia? I can't tell you how many people have sat around the table with me. I have a round table. And sat around the table with me, and we're all sitting there together. I don't stand or hover. We're all sitting there together. And when we're all done, and we're talking about dad, and dad has dementia, and every time we talk about something, the family turns to dad and says, "Dad, what do you think about that?" And dad goes, "Well, I want to know when we're going out and having lunch, because dad has dementia." And yet, they're still asking dad what he thinks about all of this. My question back to the author and some of the people that commented on this article is, where are the children? Where are the children in this story? When mom's not getting fed at the nursing home, or something's happening at the nursing home, and all of a sudden everybody's outraged about it, where were the children? Where were they? Did they know what was going on? When my mother-in-law was in a nursing home, my brother-in-law and my wife knew what was going on in her life every day. Every day they knew what was going on. Every day. I tell all of my clients, keep a journal. Know what's going on. Ask your mom who came to visit that day. Has anybody been in the house recently? Has anybody tried to sell them anything? Have they bought anything? The single best way to stop financial abuse is for the responsible members of the family to get involved in what's going on in that family. I facilitate a lot of family conferences. If you're ready to do that, and parents, for crying out loud, let your kids into your life. Let them know. If you're having a tough time, don't say, "Well, no, everything's fine," when you haven't gotten out of bed for 3 days because your back is killing you. Communication within families, especially as we become more frail, becomes more important than ever. And so I guess the theme of my show today is who identifying who's the responsible adult. Who's it going to be in your family? I don't know. I don't know who it is in your family. I know who it is in my family. Who's the responsible adult or adults in your family? And parents, have you let them assume their task? You raised them to be good kids. You raised them to be responsible adults. Let them be. Children, your parents raised you to be responsible adults. Take the responsibility. And a good place to start is get to my workshop as a family. Get into my office as a family. I encourage families to come. I think it's healthy. 800-999, write this down, 800-999-8007. 800-999-8007. Or you can go to my website, Assets, A-S-S-E-T-S, and A-N-D, Aging, A-G-I-N-G, .com. You could go there. You can sign up for my newsletter where you'll get my book at a discount. My book is not available to the general public yet. It won't be for about 2 weeks. Newsletter only to begin with. You can get information. You can get a hold of me. You can watch videos. You can sign up for the workshop online. You can do all of those kinds of things. Look for my ads on your Facebook page if you live in Sacramento. Watch the video. There's lots of videos for you to watch on my webpage. There's tons of information. There are links. There's help. But today, determine the responsible adult in your family. And everybody, get to the workshop or get into my office. Take the responsibility on. They took care of you. It's time for you to take care of them. 800-999-8007. 800-999-8007. And thank you so much for the privilege of listening, of coming into your home. Thank you for listening. I hope the information has been helpful. Give me a call today, and together we'll reason together and find a solution for your family. 800-999-8007. For Bob Scrivano and Assets and Aging, have a wonderful, wonderful day. We'll see you here soon. Bye.